7. I'll read, keep reading. I want the verses. I'd like to have you read one again, even if the verses. And let's stand together. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue in that death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the reading of this portion of scripture this morning. Lord, we do pray you would use it to speak to our hearts this morning. Be with the pastors. Bring some message to us today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will give us power. Lord, that we might hear the word this morning and receive it with gladness. We pray, Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know you to say it, they might come to know you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can listen.
Jesus in my heart, happiness is for one note. All right, take your Bibles again, please. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 7. For those of you who are not aware of it, Hebrews is not a book that tells the name of the person who's making coffee. Yeah? All right, that's time to lose. Hebrews chapter 7.
Just like the caffeine.
Let's read again the verses that we looked at earlier. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. The Old Testament priests offered sacrifices for their own sins and for the sins of the people. On the Day of Atonement, they went into the Holy of Holies, offering sacrifice, that Christ entered into the holies in heaven for us. All of their sacrifices in the Old Testament were pictures, types of the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ would give on Calvary. And there's no need for any more sacrifices. We don't sacrifice Christ over and over again. He died once for all. The Old Testament sacrifices pointed to that once for all sacrifice that Christ would make at Calvary. Verse 23 says, there were many priests in that the priesthood was passed on from generation to generation. As a high priest died, another high priest would take his place. They could not continue by reason of death. That's quite logical, amen? It's kind of hard to keep doing what you were doing after you died. It just doesn't happen. And so they couldn't continue by reason of death. But, verse 24, this Christ, because he continueth ever, he died once for our sins, rose again from the grave, is alive forevermore. He'll die no more. Amen?
Amen.
He died once for all. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The word unchangeable meaning non-violated, non-liable. In other words, there is no liability with it. He is an unchanging priest. He is it forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament priests pictured him, but they couldn't continue ever. There was a likeness, a type of Christ in Melchizedek in the Old Testament. But other than that, the Old Testament priest came, lived, died, but this one, Christ, continues ever. It's an unchangeable priesthood. There's nobody else, amen? And we don't have to worry about Jesus dying. In the 70s, Madeline Murray O'Hare said that God was dead. She's dead. No. God's very much alive, amen? This man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. So, unchangeable, it's never going to be swapped over to somebody else. He is our high priest forever. He's offered our sacrifices. We can come to him because he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need, and he'll always be there. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and what?
Forever.
And so an unchangeable priesthood. Now, the next verse gives us an application for us because of that. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We'll come back to that verse. For such an high priest became us, or is becoming for us, just what we need, in other words. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. One time he offered up himself. Now go back to verse number 25, would you please? Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The phrase, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Intercession is prayer on someone else's behalf. It has the idea of lighting upon a person to plead the case of another. He ever lives to make intercession for us. This morning, I want to speak on what Jesus prays for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your words that goes forth this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit would fill me and use me. If there's anybody here that's never personally put his or her faith in Jesus Christ to be their Savior once and for all forever, may they do that today. Bless our time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What Jesus prays for us. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 34, who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We read Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is our ever living, resurrected Savior, and as such is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Let me just interject a thought here. When Stephen was stoned for preaching the gospel, do you remember what he said as he looked up in the heaven as he was dying, being stoned to death? He said, I see Jesus standing the right hand of the majesty of high. Jesus is seated positionally at the right hand of the Father. But it seems to me that when one of his comes home, he stands to greet them. Amen. Positionally seated, the place of honor at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. As I said, the word has the idea of lighting upon a person to plead on another's behalf. Intercession implies an earnest plea for someone else. There are people that are heavy upon your heart, and you intercede for them. You pray for them. When you think of them, you have a burden on your heart, and you go before the Lord and pray out for them on their behalf. That's intercessory prayer. Jesus intercedes for us. I think we need a lot more intercessory prayer. It goes a lot farther than just plain talk about what someone's experiencing. Talking with other people does not help someone else's problem. But talking to the Lord can. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We Christians need to be more intercessory in our prayer. When we know someone has a burden, has a problem, talk to Jesus. Amen? Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that two men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. Intercessory prayer. The scriptures, I cited Romans 8:34, and we looked at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, tell us that Jesus intercedes, pleads on our behalf. He intercedes for us, but those verses do not tell us the makeup of his prayer. Are we left then to guess what it is that Jesus might be praying for us? If I wanted to know what you might pray as it related to me, I would listen in on one of your prayers. It's tremendously humbling to hear different people pray for me in prayer time. Tell me. Parents who teach your children to pray for the pastor, amen? And I want people to hear me pray for them as well. When we hear someone pray for us, we have an idea of the greatest concern or desire upon their hearts for us as they take those cares to the Lord. Remember, Paul said, brethren, pray for us. And remember, he said, strive together with your prayers to God for us. As Paul is in the spiritual ring fighting for the things of God, he said, jump in the ring with me in prayer. We gain an idea of what people pray by hearing them pray for us. What did Jesus pray? What is it that he's interceding for us? We gain an idea of what the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us by what he prayed in the garden just prior to his crucifixion. What's called the Lord's Prayer, often recited as the Lord's Prayer, is not technically the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer for Christians. After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, so on and so forth. It's a prayer given a kind of as an outline of praying for us after this manner. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a model prayer for us. What is actually the Lord's Prayer is recorded in John chapter 17, which gives us an idea of what Jesus Christ is interceding for us before the throne of God. Would you look in your Bible, please, to John chapter 17. Keep your marker there, Hebrews. We will come back. John chapter number 17. I wish this had been called the Lord's Prayer. And since the Bible doesn't tell us exactly that for what he's interceding for us, we take a peek into what he actually did pray to the Father on our behalf about. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today forever, if it was on his heart before the Father, before his crucifixion, maybe that's exactly what he's praying and interceding for us before the throne of God. John chapter 17, if you would please. And let's look at verses 6 through 11. John chapter 17. Let me just say before we get into the whole prayer. This prayer, there's two basic elements of it. One is the Lord's relationship with his Father, which is the beginning of the prayer. And then the believer's relationship with the Father. Verses 1 through 6, the relationship of him to the Father. And then the rest of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer here, John chapter 17, the relationship of believers with the Father. Let's look at it quickly. John chapter 17 and verse 6. I have manifested. Now, bear in mind where and when the Lord is praying. He's praying this in the garden just prior to his crucifixion. Folks, right where the rubber meets the road, amen? He's preparing to pay for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. And the most important things are on his mind and heart as he goes before the Father in prayer. John 17 and verse 6, in prayer, Jesus said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they've received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, son of rejection. Perdition. That the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee. These things I speak in the world that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. This always touches me. Folks, this is for you specifically. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me, Father. I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Amen. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Then notice, when he had spoken these words, he went forth with the disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered these disciples. We just stepped back and we glimpsed at the Lord Jesus Christ as he was down and kneeling, praying to the Father for us. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for us. And this, I believe, is the glimpse into that intercessory prayer that Jesus not only had for us, but I believe has for us. Let's think about some things in this prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father. By the way, isn't that something, you know, when you think about someone, you have prayer with them, and it touches you to pray with somebody. My mind just caught a glimpse of me praying with the altar with my dad several years ago. I was just going into the ministry. You know, it's a sweet time, isn't it? And here's the Lord Jesus Christ praying to the Father who had sent him to die for us, to whom he was going to commit his spirit when he died on the cross. He said, I'm going to be with you. Father, I'm praying for you. Several things here. I'll break it down just in a few points. First of all, he prayed that God would keep them in unity with him. Look at verses 6 to 11 again. Especially verse 11. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou givest me, has given me. And read that next part with me. Ready? That they may be one as we are. The first thing that Jesus prayed is that the Father would keep them, the disciples, and those who would believe, in unity with him, with the Father. The word keep means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard one's state, watch over. Jesus said, I've kept them, and I ask you, Heavenly Father, to guard, to watch over them, specifically that they would be one as we are. As Jesus was one with the Father while in the world, he prayed that his own would be kept one with the Father as they would still be in the world. The Holy Spirit later inspired John to write, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I believe that Jesus prayed here that the Father would keep us in a walk that is in unity with the Father, even though we're in the world. You know, there's a lot of distracting things that come our way. Even life itself, its circumstances can be so distracting from the Father. The Bible says of Jesus that his face was set as a stone, as a flint, to go to Jerusalem. Peter said, you're not going to go die for us, but his face was set. I came to do thy will. We're to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus Christ, God the Son of God, was in 100% unity with the Father all the time, though he was in the world, among sin, among sinners, seeking to save sinners. He was at total unity, oneness with the Father the whole time. Our distractions often hinder us from doing the will of the Father. And Jesus prayed, keep them focused on you. Keep them at one with you. This is not a passage that actually, the word oneness there that, people have refuted about, well, he's not saying that he was God there. It's true. The oneness is the idea of total unity. He is God in flesh, amen. And as God in flesh, 100% man, 100% God, he walked as a man in 100% unity with the Father. Thank God he did. All of us have come short of that, haven't we? Jesus prayed here that we who have believed on him would walk in unity with the Father, even though we're touched by the world, we're tainted by the world. As Jesus intercedes for us, I think he's praying, Father, keep them focused and in oneness with you. 1 John wrote that our joy might be full, that we'd have fellowship with them and with the Father. Amen. Ask a question. As Jesus is praying that you'd be in oneness with the Father, are you letting that prayer be answered by being in fellowship with God the Father? The songwriter said, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known. If we are at one with the Father throughout the day, we're not going to be giving into the things of the world. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Keep them in unity with yourself. The second part of the prayer, the first part there, he said, keep them in unity. The next part, if you would look at verse number 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I want you to notice that. The second part of the prayer is, I pray that you keep them out of the evil of the world. First, keep them in unity with you. Second, keep them out of the evil of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the, what? From the evil. The reason for that is given in verse 13. He says, now I come to thee, these things speak I in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus prayed that that the Father would keep us out of the evil of the world, because that's the only way that Christians can have his joy. That's the way that we can have his joy fulfilled in our lives. Jesus said, I've come that thou might have life, and they might have life, and that they might have it more what? Abundantly. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. And so he said, Father, keep them at one with you, but then keep them out of the evil. You know what's illustrated in the story where Jesus washed the disciples' feet? And Peter said, Lord, wash every part of me. And Jesus basically said, I only need to wash your feet if you're already washed. When we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our feet are walking in the dust of this world. We're washed, but we need to clean up our feet, amen. What's touching the world? And the Lord Jesus prayed to the Father, keep them out of the evil. They're in the world, but they don't have to be of the world. They're in the world, but they don't have to smell like the world. Amen? They're in the world, but Lord, I don't want them to act like the world. They're not of the world. Don't let it dirty their lives. It's interesting that Jesus did not pray for our health. He prayed about our spiritual walk. He uses our health to help us in our spiritual walk sometimes. He allows things in our health for his glory. But he prayed specifically, don't let the world taint them. I'm afraid that too many times we're not letting God answer that prayer in our lives. Christians will not have Christ's joy in them if they're full of the world's advice, the world's actions, and the world's attitudes. The psalmist wrote, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel," advice, "of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners," the actions, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful," the attitudes. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." Christians will not have Christ's joy in them if they're full of the world's advice, actions, and attitudes. We're in the world, but not of the world. We're left in the world to be a light in the darkness, not to reflect darkness to others. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid." And so he prays, "Lord, Father, keep them out of the evil of this world." Verse 15 has kind of always bothered me a little bit. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world." I kind of wished when I first got saved that prayer wasn't there. Because I was ready, after he saved me, I'm ready for him to beat me up right now. Amen? I don't want to be in this world. It's too enticing. Too many struggles. Too many bad memories. He said, "I don't pray that we'll take them out. We'll experience everything that's in this world. There's no temptation taking you. Well, such is common to man." Verse 17, if you notice that. Jesus prayed and said, "Sanctify them through thy truth." The word sanctify means to set apart from, for. To set apart from something for use, for something else. And so Jesus, as he prayed there, he said, "Father, set them apart, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." To be set apart, God prayed here, Jesus Christ the Son prayed that we'd be set apart from sin and self for spiritual service. He wants us to be used. The word sanctify means to hallow, to separate from profane and dedicate to God. Remember, the Bible says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And then it goes on and says, "As he that has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That's what Jesus is praying here. Heavenly Father, not only keep them at one with you and keep them from the evil, don't let the world taint them, but Lord, set them apart from sin and from self so that they can be of use and service for you. "I call and ordain you that you may go and bring forth fruit." The word of God is the truth. We see in verse 17, it's the truth through which the Father sanctifies us. People that are not in the Bible, in the word of God, will not be setting themselves apart from sin. He's given us his word. The Holy Spirit has given us the Bible. It's not man given, it's God given. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, sets us apart as we walk in God's word. The Father gave us the program of coming together to hear the word. Someone said to me, "Being in church is not very important." You're wrong. Amen. The Father gave us the program of coming together to hear the word. Our gathering to hear the word of God is part of answer to the prayer that Jesus made. Set them apart through thy truth. And in God's program, he said, "Come, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't despise prophesying," because God the Father, through the Holy Spirit, uses the preaching of the word of God to help Christians set apart themselves and their lives from sin and from self for service to God. Part of God's program. Philosophy and human reasoning are not what sanctify. The word which is given to be preached does. God uses the preaching of his word to accomplish his work in our lives and sanctify us for his service in this world. God uses the word in our personal lives as we read it and study it and ask God to speak to us. He uses the word. Second part. Jesus prayed that. It shows me two things here. Jesus not only wanted you to be pure from sin in your life, he wanted you to be available for service for him. He told his disciples, greater things than I do will you do that have believed God did. God in heaven has things for his children to do, and Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them, set them apart for spiritual use. Remember the Apostle Paul, inspired of God, wrote, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, set apart to serve. Father, keep them at one with you. Keep them out of the evil. Set them apart, essentially, for your service. And then if you notice in verse number 20, please, John chapter 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for Jim Whitman, which shall believe on me through their word. And write your name there. Amen. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. What's he pray now? Notice again. That they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. He comes right back in prayer for all believers to be at one with God the Father. The unity of future believers. It's not a prayer for ecumenism. The unity of people regardless of belief. This is a prayer for believers to be at one with the Father and the Son, so that we're all in tune with him, fulfilling his will on earth. Ecumenism just joins together. I got two letters this week from some group saying, let's get together and pray for unity. What they mean is union, not unity. You can put a bunch of notes together and you have union of notes. Sounds like how you play. This is union of notes. That's ecumenism. What Jesus prayed is this. That's, hold your applause. That is unity. The fitting together of notes to make a beautiful chord. A beautiful chord. Jesus didn't pray for unity of all people joined together in La La. He prayed that everybody who believes would be at one with the Father and one with the Son. As John said, our fellowship truly is with the Father and with his Son. Purpose behind this prayer is in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, And read the last phrase, the purpose, the intent of that prayer. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This prayer behind this, the motivation is that our testimony, our witness would be effective on the world, preaching Christ. Unity with the Father and the Son through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, set apart, sanctified to serve, pointing others to Christ, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. And then the last part of the prayer, if you would, in verse 24. This has happened for many people, but it hasn't happened for us here this morning yet. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Jesus prayed that one day we'd be with him. We don't just have a life religion, we have eternal life. We believed on Christ who lived and died for us and rose again, and we've accepted him, received him into our heart as our Savior. He's given us eternal life, but for right now, we're living this life, and he wants the Father to keep us at one with him and set us apart from the world, keep us from the evil of it, so that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walking in unity with him, can point others to Christ so that they too will one day be with Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's coming a day when we who've believed, have asked Christ to be our Savior, will realize the ultimate answer to that prayer. What glory we'll see when we're with the Lord. I mean, when we preach and we think about it, we get a little glimpse, and in my mind's eye, my heart's eye, I just get a taste of the holiness of Christ as he prayed for me. But I'm going to see with my new eyes, understand with my new mind, and feel with my new heart the very glory of Jesus Christ. I'm closing real quick. Look back at Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 25. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him. Seeing, this is how he is able to, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus saved us from sin. Amen. But he's able to save us to the uttermost, which means completely, thoroughly, from the power of the presence of sin in this world, to the victory of serving him in this world and sharing him with others, to the joy of walking in unity with the Father in this life. He saves us completely. He's able to save them to the uttermost, complete, thorough. That which one? Those that come to God by him. How? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them by his prayers that I think are continual. Father, keep them in unity with you. Father, keep them from the evil. Heavenly Father, this person's dabbling with the evil. Keep them from that. Father, set that person apart from the word. Let the word of God impact their life. Let your preaching of the word stir them. Father, keep them in one with us so they can be used. That's saved to the uttermost through the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ. Let's keep praying. That's what he's praying for us. Will you let God, the Father, answer the prayers of Jesus Christ, the Son, in your life? we can realize, say, completely, for the dominating power of sin in our lives to a life of fellowship and service, life of joy, walking with you and doing your will, that's saved in our lives. Not just saved from hell, but saved in our living. That's to your glory and honor. Thank you for the prayers of the ever-living Savior making intercession for us today. Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here that has never personally turned from sin and invited Jesus Christ into his or her heart to save them first from sin, pray they realize that Jesus lived a perfect life for them and died the sinner's death for them, rose again to give life. They'd invite him into their heart that you'd give them eternal life. Turning from their sin, trusting you to save. There's someone that's never done that. May they do that today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help every Christian here to let the prayers, the intercessory prayers, be answered in our lives today. Yielding to you, walking with you, letting your word have an impact in our lives, sharing your love with us.